welcome.
Well, come on in to another edition of Tommy's Holiday Camp. Welcome, everybody. And, yeah, thank you very much, Laura, for it was technically challenged, but you got through to the very end and had a lot of people come into the couch. There's a lot of creases in it tonight. Okay, only one's working. What's happening? Have one been put out to pasture? Can't afford Bessie? Welcome, and this is Cows Radio 107.3 FM coming to you from beautiful downtown Occidental. And yeah, hope you've all going down to, there's still time to go down to, actually no, the farmer's market is just closing at 7, so you'll have to go back next week from 4 to 7. It's down at the community center. You can't miss it. And yeah, my my show today will be, I've got in the studio, Jacqueline Grace Howard.
Hayward.
Oh, say Hayward. And can you, let's see if everything's working there, Jacqueline.
Yes, this is Jacqueline.
Good.
Jacqueline Grace Hayward, that is.
I said Howard. I'm sorry. And you are the director of Rising Moon.
Yes.
And it's part of the Playback Theatre Group, which is an international group that is actually all around the world. Is that correct?
Yes, part of an international network. But, you know, each company has its own vision and its own
way of doing things.
Way of doing things.
And who did you bring along with your group?
I have two of the company members, Linda Puig and Ashe.
Hi.
Hello.
Okay. Hi. I'm just making notes here as we go. The phone number in the studio, in the course of the chat here, if you can, if you got some questions for Ashi, Linda, and Jacqueline, you can call 707-874-1073. So everything's up in the air here. Except me, I'm on my seat. So, well, let's just play some music. It is Earth Day day yesterday, so everyone's been doing a mix of earthy type music. So put some Jimi Hendrix Earth Blues on for a moment, and then we'll get back and chat to Rising Moon Theatre Group. Yes, Earth Blues by Jimi Hendrix. So anyway, we're here with Jacqueline, Ashley, and Linda, and
Ashe.
Oh, sorry, Ashe. Sorry, excuse me. Okay. How do you spell that?
A S H A E.
A E. Okay. Ah, the Latin ending there. That's what got me. The A E.
That'll get you every time.
And they've very kindly come in to tell us about their theatre group, Rising Moon, and the playback theatre, which is the overall method which you utilise in your work. Is that correct?
That's correct. And the name of our company actually is Rising Moon Playback Theatre. We put it all together. Rising Moon gives it, for us, the feminine aspect, because we are an all-women company. And Playback Theatre holds that international aspect of what we do.
Okay. Well, excellent. And, well, let's talk about Playback Theatre so everyone knows what it is and what happens there and where it came from. What is the history of Playback Theatre?
Well, I'll tell you a little about the origins. There's a fellow called Jonathan Fox. He's still the grandfather of playback, and he's a man in his 60s. And when he was a young fellow, he was an actor, and he was also very interested in oral history. And he was having a cup of hot chocolate one day and had this idea to create theatre from people's stories. And so he gathered together some friends, and they worked on forming these creating these forms, these that are still done nowadays. And they started performing. They took about 5 years to develop all the work and then started performing. And some Australians came and saw them performing. This is in New York. And said, please come to Australia and teach us. This is wonderful. So he did. He went to Australia and taught them. And so it spread all over Australia. And it's in now in about 54 countries.
And I should say also that it's people's real-life stories, not just made-up stories. It's things that actually happened to them, whether as a child or a moment ago.
And so it's done wherever there's a story to be told, which is in prisons, hospitals, theaters, community centers. My own company has worked a lot in social service agencies, out of the public eye, and we have always offered public performances.
So maybe let everyone know how the actual format of the performance works, you know, how those stories are integrated into your performance, and who is involved, and the parts in the theater.
Well, the typical course of a playback performance, whether for private purposes or public purposes, is the actors go in and start by sharing something from their life, a brief snippet from their life, and that gets acted back or played back. And from there on out, the rest of the performance is from stories from the audience members. And there are various forms that are used to slowly but surely elicit more and more participation from the audience, to kind of warm them up so they don't feel so nervous and so shy. And so the performance goes from those kinds of beginning forms, we call them short forms, and then leads into actual stories, full stories. And sometimes people don't know how to tell a story, so the conductor is the person who is the liaison, so to speak, between the teller and the actors. And the audience, too. And so the conductor will elicit through interview the necessary details of a story for the actors to then create a performance on the spot, a theater piece on the spot from that story.
Wow. So just from a few scraps of somebody's history or that whole panorama is then created.
Yes, and what it means actually to play back somebody's experience is to firstly embody it. So we don't want to just be talking heads. We actually embody the experience. How do we show experience or emotion physically as well as through spoken improvisation? And I just went blank on where I was going with that. And also to capture the poetry of the person's experience, because we've heard the story, so we don't want to act it out. The audience has already heard the story. So our work is to find the poetry of the person's experience or the metaphors within it, and to play that back and to give it back to them as a gift. And which gives them new insights, because it comes through the actor's intuition. It gets changed by coming through the actor's interpretation of that person's experience, and then is given back to them through the actor's empathy and intuition, and hopefully is given back as a gift.
Yeah, that's fascinating that somebody actually sees literally their lives going passing before them. That's a very interesting idea, and some of the reactions must be very powerful. I would imagine people seeing that their story.
Yeah, it can be really, really powerful for people to see a story. They might think it's even an insignificant story, or maybe it's something that's deeply personal and important to them. But to see it played out gives it, not only links them in a way that it's a humanity. It links. Our stories are art-worthy. Our stories link us. Our experiences link us to one another. And when we see something so, what we once thought was just little old me, my story, my personal thing, it turns out that it touches others because it touches on human themes. Mm-hmm. So it can be really, really potent. And it can be funny, it can be silly, it can be uplifting, and it can be transformative, mm-hmm. deeply transformative. And I think a big part of being why it's transformative is because being witnessed is so mm-hmm. vital for the human heart and the human psyche, more than we really even know. So it's theater, it's art, but there is a healing capacity or a potential that can mm-hmm. be healing there as well.
So it touches into that commonality of us all mm. in that process. But mm. what's nice, it can be like I broke a nail today, or it could be like an epic life history. I mean, it can be that broader range of a story.
And the really fun part is that everything can speak in playback. So tables and chairs and cars and
toilet brushes
and hormones and nails, fingernails. I mean, they can all speak. If they play a central role in the story, then they can come to life and you do get some really interesting insights.
Oh, fascinating. What's been the most outrageous thing or crazy thing or wild thing you've ever heard in terms of somebody's story, you know, without naming names, of course?
Oh, there are so many, and some I would hesitate to even speak about on radio. But they really are extraordinary. You know, the things that happen. One that comes to mind from our early years is a doctor shared a story of being an intern and nervous, and it was his first time of doing rounds. Hmm. And he went into this hospital room where a man had, I don't know what kind of operation, but something in his guts, you know. And this patient was sitting watching television, and he had unpicked all his stitches, and all his guts were sitting on the bed.
Oh my God.
And because he thought that they'd left something in him. Now, he was a little delusional, you know, but he was also pain-free because of the drugs. And so, you know, imagine playing that back, you know. Mm.
Whoa, that's an interesting one to to act back. Mm.
Oh, I remember a story about a woman who was in love with a movie star. Jacqueline, do you remember this?
Yes, she worked it was in the John Derek.
Yes, right.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was a woman in her 80s by that time. So she was in love with John Derek when she was a young secretary mm-hmm. at the Universal Studios in Hollywood.
Oh. And so one day, I don't know if I'm going to remember the details of the story exactly right, but the bottom line is that she got to the studio at the same time, right, Jacqueline?
They arrived in the parking lot at the same time, and she saw him.
And she thought, this is my chance, I'm going to meet him. And she ran up the stairs and, you know, feigned indifference or, oh, hello. And he let her know that she'd let her car stay running.
So, of course, in a case like that, that's an obvious one where we would play the hormones.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. You'd go not just on the face of it, but...
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Because her hormones
were
raging.
It's the hormones that are running this woman's desires and passions, and they're driving her crazy. So they've got to show up in the story. So,
anything that's an important element of the story... So in that case, her lust or her hormones were an important part of the story. And so that's what we need to represent.
And sometimes there are things that aren't necessarily told by the teller, but you can just get that there was perhaps some inner voice going on during an event or whatever. And so you can actually play the inner voice as well. Which would be saying something very different from what the outer voice was saying. And it really brings a depth and a depth of understanding of mm-hmm. humanity and our common foibles and our common triumphs. And
right.
And then there are such beautiful stories. Like, I remember this woman telling a story of camping and hearing something creeping up to her tent in the night and being nervous. And then this thing lay down on the other side of her tent, but right next to her body, snuggled right up against her body, and started to purr.
Oh, no.
And her 4-year-old son was with her too, so of course there was that element of fear and protection for her child as well.
Yeah, and we are not talking kitty cat.
Yeah, a larger version. Yeah, yeah. Ooh, interesting. So you had some interesting roles to play there with that one. The unknown, you think you know what it is, but you don't actually know, I suppose, what that fear is.
Well, as an actor, you're talking about the person doesn't know, but as an actor, we never know what's going to happen until we start doing it, which is another interesting element of playback. The fact that it is improvisational makes it, at once terrifying and exhilarating and immensely satisfying to be able to sort of, you know, take in and then feed back somebody's experience is really amazing.
Okay.
So we mentioned that we listen to a story and then we will play it back. But what listeners might not realize is that we have maybe a minute. We're 5 actors. We come together and we just simply, maybe we'll make a circle, maybe we'll look in each other's eyes. We don't make a plan. We simply walk out and trust. We trust each other. We work together really closely. We rehearse weekly. We've been doing this for a couple years. And so we built up a trust and an understanding and a group, sort of a group mind. That's group improv. So together, one person will begin the story, and then we all pick it up, and it unfolds. So it's really, we don't have a plan. We just have to go with the moment.
Yeah.
And the musician is an important part of this, too. We have a musician, and the musician is essentially one of the actors in the way that they respond to the story, because they're not just doing background music, they're also representing the feeling of the story and the unfolding of the story and of course any sound effects. So if an actor raises her hand to knock on a door, she needs to be ready with the knock sound.
Well, that's interesting. Now, perhaps you can each give me, what is your background? How did you get into this type of improv acting? Maybe you can tell us what each one of your story is.
Well, since I'm the founder of Playback, I'll start. And my background is as an actor. And so I was classically trained in London and then at ACT. But I was never super interested in doing that kind of theater. And I tried comedy improv along the way, and I just nearly always wanted to throw up every night when I was going. I've come to enjoy it some more now. But then I was actually in my master's degree in drama therapy. And my advisor handed me this flyer and said, I think you'd be interested in this. And it was a playback performance in San Francisco. And I went and I just fell in love. And I knew that I had to start my own company in Sonoma County, where I live. And so I did, and we had Sonoma County Playback Theater for almost 10 years. And then we took a break. I went off to India for a while, and we took a break. And when we reformed as a women's group.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is there an actual separate playback group in the county now then?
No. Okay. We're the only one north of San Francisco. There was one in Marin, but I don't think it's very active right now.
Okay. Linda? Ashay?
Let's see. I have, mostly I have a, as a performer, my experience was as a dancer. And Let's see. I've been doing improv because I love it. Because for me, it was a way to get to know myself more, to peel layers away. And the more I had to play and the more I had to show up in the moment, the more of my own essence I got to experience. So I loved improv as a dancer. I loved working with other people. It's that group mind that I spoke about earlier. Let's see. I was thinking the Zen of the moment and all that. I had many years in Japan. So it's improv is like a way of life. It's a way of showing up. It's a spirit of living that that works very well for me. And I guess it is tied into sort of my own spiritual path. But it's my play. It's my fun. It's I deeply believe in the artistry of all of each and every one of our lives. And so when I discovered playback, I was kind of jumping up and down and thinking, I want to do this. Eventually I had the good fortune to meet Jacqueline, and she did invite me to join, and it's just like coming home.
Beautiful. Thank you. And Linda?
I wanted to be an actress ever since I was 7. And I never really did. I was in an 8th grade play, I think. But then in high school, I was faced with, well, did I want to be in the popular group or in the geek group? And unfortunately, I didn't have the spine at that point to choose the one that was really truest to me, which would have been the theater group. Mm. I chose the sports, the jock crowd. Mm. So when I was 38, I started dancing and doing some performance art in San Diego, where I lived, and just remembered how much I loved performing, and I felt so at home on stage. I felt, rather than stage fright, I felt calmer as it got closer to time for me to be on stage. It was very opposite of most people's experience, and so that was really delightful, and I felt like I was exploring something that I hadn't really had an opportunity to explore, and that was very central to who I am. And then I moved up here shortly after that period. I moved up here to Northern California, and within the first week of moving here, I was handed a flyer by a guy who worked at the post office, who turns out was the playback musician back then. And he said, "Oh, you ought to try this." And I remember thinking, there is no way in hell I will ever do improv. You know, kind of the sign of the cross, like at a vampire. No way, never ever. And eventually, I don't know. I met Jacqueline, I think, through the woman that I was living with at the time, and I went to her class, and then she invited me to join the group, and you know, I sort of tentatively did, and just learned and explored some more, and now I love it. I can't imagine not having it in my life.
Mm. And see, one thing that's so wonderful about being a playback actor is, like, if you do comedy improv, you need to really be a very witty extrovert. Mm. Whereas playback has the container of somebody's experience, and you're held by that. And you heard both Linda and Ashay mention that they were dancers.
Yes.
And so whatever your way of being in life is, you can bring that to playback. Mm. If you're a shy person, very often very shy people are very empathic, which is so important to playback. We need that empathy. People who have been dancers, they know how to embody feeling. Mm. You know, even really mental people, they can bring that little mental sparkle to playback. You know, emotional people like myself, a watery person, you know, I love to express the emotions of it. So there's room for all types of people in playback, which I really love.
Yes. Oh, incredible. Well, let's have a quick break of music. Let me announce we're Cowes Radio 107.3 FM coming to you from Deliquescent, downtown Occidental. and phone number in the studio. If you've got any questions for my guest, please call area code 707-874-1073. And you can get us on the internet tubings at www.kows.fm. And if you download an app, you can get us on your smartphones anywhere in the whole world. So no excuse now. We're just as big as CBS and TBS and all those big things. Just press a button and there we are. So it is such a wonderful world and there's wonderful, beautiful people. So let's have some Jimmy Cliff. Wonderful world, beautiful people. For Earth Day yesterday, we're rolling with a lot of green and earthy things over the last couple of days. And I'm here with the Rising Moon Theatre Group, or members of it. And we've got Jacqueline, Ashe, and Linda. And perhaps you can tell us what you do when you're not in doing the theatre, and what some of the other people do, just to give us an idea where how easy it is to become a Playback Theatre member. You don't have to, you know, just be regular people. Or?
Yes, in fact, one of the titles given to Playback is that it's we're all citizen actors.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I'm actually the only person whose life has just mostly been in drama, because I have been a drama teacher and am still a drama teacher, and I teach playback, so I have a playback class going right now. And I mean, apart from the company, you know, I'm bringing some new trainees up. And and I also work part-time in Linda's business, and I help her create newsletters for therapists and coaches.
Oh.
So I'll turn it over to her to see what she does in life.
Okay.
I think she said it all.
We got an inkling. I'll do a playback of that. So.
Yes, I run a business that I started back in 2002, doing helping coaches, personal coaches, business coaches, therapists, and other kinds of solo professionals with their marketing, and primarily through the use of newsletters. So I teach and also provide for them.
Mm.
And I'm a mother.
Oh, yeah. The biggest one of all.
Yes, true. That is the biggest role.
And I'm a grandmother.
Oh, even better. You get to give them back, you know.
Well, I'm neither a mother or a grandmother, but let's see. I've been an ESL teacher for many years, and currently I'm doing body work. As a dancer, I did a lot of somatic education and then took that into a career path. And so body work and wellness coaching, really, and I'm currently also being certified in therapeutic yoga teaching.
Hmm. Excellent.
And then Kate, another member, is a Waldorf kindergarten teacher. And Diana, who's also not here, is an author and an educator and a workshop leader on the subject of mentoring young women, girls into womanhood, by honoring their menstruation. And so she was actually the force for us to begin our Red Tent performances. We began for Women's History Month last year. We did our first Red Tent stories in March. And so this is where we're inviting women to share their stories about menstruation at whatever stage of the journey they're in. And so we did that again this year, and that was just a wonderful, juicy show.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Now, you said this the only one of its kind, as far as you know, this women's group?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that we mention the other members, too. Fran is a voice coach, and Margie is, I'm not exactly sure, she's our musician, and has a rich, full life here in Sebastopol. And so, yeah, just wanted to mention that and keep talking about the juicy performances.
Yeah, maybe you can give us a little details about how those performances work, so the Red Tent.
Well, it's in just the same format as any other playback performance. It's just that it's given a focused theme. So some of our performances have a theme, which so we invite stories on that theme, and others do not. They're just open, so any story is welcome.
And so, as she mentioned, we just finished our second annual Red Tent performance, and the beauty of it is simply that it's quite taboo. It's not something that most people talk about. Women talk about it amongst ourselves, but certainly not publicly. And it was a tremendous, I think it was a gift. It was service to the community, and it fed each and every one of us too. And it certainly got a lot of people talking. So it's the same format. It's just that only women got to tell their stories. Women were the speakers. Men were invited, but only women shared their stories. And get it out there. That's what we're about, is getting people to talk about what's real.
You know, for a subject like that, obviously there's a lot credible amount of emotion in the women who come up to tell their stories. How do you deal with that emotion as they're telling you the story? I mean, obviously that can cloud what you're trying to do, I suppose, or doesn't it? Or do you take that emotion?
Well, your question presumes that the emotion is all the same and that it's all kind of intense emotion, but it can be very lighthearted as well. There are people who have very funny stories about maybe starting their period or ending, or you know, being in whatever. So the range of emotion in a playback performance can go quite wide, quite broad. Yeah, from everybody in tears because they're laughing so hard to everybody in tears because of a touching story. So that's one of your emotions get a workout at a playback performance.
Yeah, and the way in which a story is told by an audience member is that they sit with me in my role as conductor, and it's done as an interview. So I'm actually asking questions to help guide the storytelling, number one, to keep it contained, and number two, so that I can make sure to gather all the information that the actors need. And very often the process is of one, because they might tell of something dramatic that happens, but they don't say how it felt. So it's actually my role to check in and say, how did that feel? Describe the feeling. You know, so, yeah, it's a guided journey.
And afterwards, after, say, you've done this story, do people tell you, oh, that was just how it was, or it was just nothing like it, or what are the reactions like after you've done your performance?
Well, that is the last step, is I come back to the teller and ask them, how was that for you? And they will usually say, yes, that was amazing, and that's just how it was. Or
well, in playing back the story and actually creating theater from it, we take some artistic liberties. So we may set the story in a Western town and do a Western or a fairy tale, right? Or we may decide to do it as a wordless story or as a dance. You know, so there's a lot of interpretation. It's not intended to be exact replication of their story. What we are mainly concerned with is getting the essence of the story. And usually if we've managed to get the essence of the story, they feel heard and seen, and like their experience has been honored, you know, and sometimes we miss. And Jacqueline's always very good about saying, about actually not saying, but she's able to detect when somebody's just kind of smiling and nodding their head, but not really feeling it. And so sometimes we'll actually do a do-over. We'll take it from another. She'll ask a few more questions to get a little bit deeper information about what was going on in that particular incident, and then we'll go have another go at it.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, it's totally fluid. In other words.
Yes.
Huh. Now, one thing I noticed, it's just playback generally, that it's amazing the scenarios that it takes place in. I've seen that the Aborigines use it for drug counseling, corporate entities use it, it's in therapy and community events. It's amazing how it's been utilized. That's been quite amazing that it can work over all those types of venues.
Yeah, as Jacqueline said, anywhere there's a story to tell, which is basically everywhere, is a ripe and fine place for playback. We ourselves, both incarnations of the company, have played at places like we've done stories for children who've lost a parent at a hospice organization. Mm-hmm. We've done for women who are in recovery, adoption agency, is that right? A Job Corps organization,
Chamber of Commerce, Chamber leadership of, training,
right? Birthday parties, especially the round numbers, they tend to get playback to be.
We
there.
Even did a memorial.
That's right, we did a year after
telling stories about the deceased person.
Ooh, that must be very interesting to see that.
It was joyful.
Yeah. Now, how does it affect you? Obviously, your people are putting a lot on you and through you. How does that affect you? Those emotions and feelings affect you. Does it all move through? Or
there is an important step after a performance, especially at some of the private performances that we used to have, where there would be really heavy, heavy stories, especially some of the ones from the women in recovery. You know, they're often just discovering themselves, and they'll tell these stories and then see these parts of themselves and these parts of their lives that they can hardly believe are, you know, were them or, you know, so there's some really heavy stuff, and they often have some traumatic stories from childhood for themselves. And so there have been times when it felt really yucky having just played the perpetrator, you know, and you kind of have to de-roll. And so after a performance, we always make sure that if there's something that we need to leave at the performance, then that, you know, then it needs to stay there because,
is that something you do collectively or just individually?
We do in a circle. Yeah, we gather in a circle, and we also leave because feelings of I missed something as an actor. Oh, I did that so wrong. You know, feelings of inadequacy or shame might arise for the actor too, and we don't want to take that with us because we showed up with love and gave what we gave as a gift. So anything that arises contrary to that, we don't want to take home with us.
Right. It's a tough role to do that improvisational and have it, you feel fulfilled, you really got it. That's quite a task every time. I admire you greatly. Well, let's do another break, and then perhaps we can talk about how the training let everyone know how they can get into it and what it takes to train in the group. Would that be good?
Okay. Sure.
Okay. Well, I'll play another Green song. It's Green Hills by Nada Lewis, a wonderful accordionist. Thank you. sudden end there. That was Nada Lewis and Green Hills. In fact, I'll be interviewing her next on my next show next week. So you'll be listening to some more accordion music and Nada Lewis. So we're back in the studio, Cow Studio, 107.3 FM from Pulchritudinous, downtown Occidental. Hope everyone's enjoying my interview with the Rising, or members of the Rising Moon Group.
Rising Moon Playback Theatre.
Sorry, Rising Moon Playback Theatre, yes. And we have Jacqueline, Ashe and Linda here. And we were talking about... how do you get involved in your group, and what does it take to be trained to be able to do what you're doing?
Well, this group formed in 2006 or 7?
Six.
We formed in 2006, and we've just been stable, 7 members. But we are just opening it up now because I am teaching another class. So... really, the only way to get in is to do the training when I'm offering one.
Mm-hmm. When is the next training then? When
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
But if people want one, they can say, "Give me a training." Yeah.
Well, okay, if you want a training in this method, you can call 707-874-1073.
But another thing I've always wanted to do is go train other companies. Like, there could be Napa Playback. I always wished I lived in Petaluma just so we could be Petaluma Playback. I mean, it's got such a great sound, you know. So, I mean, we can have other playback companies too. There's room for lots of us.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, all you out there, there's loads of room. And it's it sounds, you know, absolutely incredible concept.
And lots of fun.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's, it must be, you know, sweat-inducing, you know, in times, you know, as you don't know what's going to come up. So your brain has just got to leap in a direction at a moment's notice.
There are times when we've heard the story and then we go, oh, we haven't talked about cloth. That might be interesting. That's the only cloth. Prop that we use are silk scarves or a chiffon scarves and different colors. And so we use them metaphorically in all different kinds of ways. So the scarves hang on a thing that we call Jack.
I think it's a hat rack.
Yeah.
It's
something like that.
And a jack rack.
A jack rack, right. And so we go, we leave the stage and go back by Jack and do playback by Jack. No. We just sometimes look at each other. Sometimes somebody will say a word or a quick, you know, half a sentence idea that might clue everybody into how we're going to play it back. But sometimes you hear a story and you go back there and huddle up and everybody just looks like, I have no idea how we're going to play this. I have nothing to offer here. And so then somebody will just get brave and go stand out on stage and really just wait to see what comes through the body, because it's so, the body knows. And if you just get out of the way, get your head out of the way, the right thing will come through. Hmm. So, yeah.
It's incredible training in self-trust and relationship with other people, because without relationship with your fellow actors, this cannot happen.
Right. And how does that work with the musician? Does the musician huddle with you back there, or they're just waiting there for you to come out and then figure out what you're doing?
They are playing music during that time.
Sort of setting the stage kind of music.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, so they're really out on the limb because you know what you're going to do, but...
No, we normally don't.
No, we really don't know. And the musician's like an actor, too, and she is, like Linda said, setting the stage, and she has her own hit on how this story could be played back. Mm. And so that's how she supports the story unfolding.
Mm. Beautiful.
Yeah, and it's like the training and the ongoing training for company members too, for all of us, is like training for life, because whatever limitation you have in your life will show up on stage. So when we learn to overcome it on the stage, it transfers into life, and when we learn something in life, it carries over onto the stage. I mean, it's just this flow.
That feedback, yes.
One of my dear friends has a saying that she made a little bumper sticker for, and for me it's a real metaphor, or not metaphor, but it's a motto for life, and it goes like this: pay attention and improvise. And that's what we do in playback all the time, is we pay attention to the story and then we improvise it. But that's such a great life motto as well.
Absolutely, yes, that's true.
That's great.
In constant awareness, yeah. But that's it. You've got to be. That's what's to me sounds so incredible is, you know, somebody's just putting out a few words to you, yet you've somehow got to distill that. That is into their story. That is just a wonderful thing to do.
It is. It's giving shape to their experience.
Exactly.
And meaning. And the sharing of our stories, it gives, it allows us to see where we've come from, where we're going to, and find the meaning and shape of our lives. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you've got a performance coming up, so people very soon will be able to see this for themselves.
That's
right.
Do
you want to let everyone know when it's coming up and what's going to happen? Go right ahead.
Oh, me?
No, you, yeah.
Oh, all right. I thought you were going to do it.
Oh, no.
I wanted to hear it in your wonderful, deep, resonant British accent. So it's May 8th, which is a Saturday night at the Sebastopol Center for the Arts. And we are having fun with a totally new idea this time. It's called Outrageous Women's Stories. And we're doing it almost sort of like a public forum for what does it mean nowadays to be an outrageous woman? I mean, it used to be outrageous to show your ankles, you know?
Right.
So how are we outrageous nowadays? So we're inviting women to share their stories. And again, women are the only tellers, but men are always invited as witnesses.
Mm.
As I heard from one man, he said, I'm going to be there hiding in the back.
Yeah. Well, as long as there's no, you know, pitchforks and torches for them afterwards.
No, we love our men.
They're very, very welcome.
Yeah, it's an interesting exploration. We've been asking ourselves the same question. Well, so what does it mean to you, Jacqueline? What does it mean to you, Ashe, to be an outrageous woman or are you an outrageous woman, or have you just done a few outrageous things, or what does it mean, really? And, you know, we came up with some ideas that we will probably share during that very beginning stage of the performance when we're sharing a story from our lives. But it's a very intriguing exploration. Is it okay if we say a few things, Jacqueline, that we've been talking about?
Sure.
Yeah, so one of the members of our company said, I just don't consider myself an outrageous woman. And, well, okay, I was one of them. I mean, I've done a few outrageous things, but I don't consider myself an outrageous woman. But when I look at some of the choices that I've made as a mother, to many in this country or in this world, that it might seem pretty outrageous. I mean, I felt very strongly about breastfeeding, and I breastfed my son till he was 4. And some people would think that's just ridiculously outrageous. And so that was one way that I thought. Anything else?
Well, I don't want to give people's stories away, though.
No, don't. I'll think of another one.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm really turned on by the idea that by the question of what is an outrageous woman. I said, well, yeah, heck yeah, we're all outrageous women, and I was shocked. Not shocked. I was surprised to get the reminder that not all women do feel that way, and I think for me, what it means is just how do we live our lives on our own terms. I think living, being a woman, being anyone, but particularly being a woman living on our own terms is can be an act of outrageousness. That word needs to be defined, and that'll probably happen. That at our performance, we'll play around and look at that. But we just invite women to come and look at their lives and how they're living and the expression of their lives, and share a bit of that and see what happens, see what we can learn.
And I would say also, if you're feeling the opposite of outrageous, if you're feeling, you know, in some way small and insignificant and don't matter to anyone, you know, come and just soak in the stories of, that others are telling, and you might find some inspiration for feeling bigger and bolder in your own life.
Yeah, they may find they are actually outrageous
exactly.
themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Without realizing.
Yes.
So again, where is it, when is it, and how can people contact you?
Saturday, May 8th at the Sebastopol Center for the Arts at 8 o'clock. We are requesting reservations for this one because we do expect to sell out. And the way they can make reservations is by calling me, Jacqueline, at 823-7687. That's in area code 707 823 7687. Or you can email me at jqgrace, G-R-A-C-E, at sbcglobal.net. And you can also get on our email list that way. We just have a list that we use for performances.
And I would like to say something that our very next performance, Jacqueline, do you have the date of that?
June 19th, I think it is.
Our next performance is Father Stories. So we do span the gamut of gender experiences.
So that will so then you'll only take from men then?
No, would not necessarily. Be, no,
just
stories
about
fathers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
About being one or having okay. one or having missed one. Any story about fathers.
Mm. Wow. Oh, is that Father's Day? Or?
I'm trying. It to, is yes. that weekend.
That's weekend.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thought as much. Well, thank you so much for coming in, the Rising Moon Theatre Group, Jacqueline, Ashe, and Linda. The Rising Moon Playback Theatre.
You got it.
Thank you, Arnold.
Thank you too, Arnold. It was really fun.
And I hope everyone goes down to, it's the Centre of the Arts in Sebastopol, isn't it? Yeah, Sebastopol yes. Centre of the Arts, May 8th at 8 p.m. Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you very
thank you.
Much.
Thank you.
And this is Cowes Radio 107.3 FM. On your internet dial, on your frequency modulating dial, coming to you with 3,000 blazing milliwatts of power. This is Arnaldo and Tommy's Holiday Camp every Friday from 7 to 9. And yeah, let's play, as this is Earth Day yesterday, a little bit from that video film, Sex Lies and Sex Lies and Videotape. And it's about garbage.